flower's perfect because I can hide behind it. Happy Easter. Thanks for coming out and spending some time with us to celebrate the one who is worthy of celebrating. Am I on? You hear me okay back there? Tommy, am I good? Okay. I want us to think back, though, for just a second about what that day may have been like, because I know that might be how you come in here today. You know, you think about that Friday when it happened, that Friday when these men and women who were chasing after and following this leader and following after their teacher and believing in everything he said, and they were all invested, all their eggs were in that basket, all their, you know, everything, their future. And imagine what they must have thought of that night as he hung on that cross, that night as it seemed to all come to an end, that night when there seemed to no longer be any hope. I share that because perhaps you come in here today and that's where your life is. Something difficult's happened. You're in the midst of something right now, whether it's at work, whether it's in your marriage, whether it's with a child, whether it's with a parent. And you see the darkness. You see the difficulty. You see the adversity. You see the struggle. And you wonder, is there light at the end of that tunnel? Is there light at the other side of that tomb? Because I feel like I'm really in a dead spot right here, a really difficult spot. That's where they found themselves. And then the scripture tells us, in Luke 24, this is what it says. It says that the first day of the week, early in the morning, some women made their way along the path that led to the tomb, wondering who would roll away the stone for them. But when they arrived, they found that the stone had already been rolled away, and an angel there told them, "You're looking in the wrong place. You're looking for Jesus among the dead. He's not dead. He is alive. He is risen, even as he said." He is risen. That's what we celebrate today. Despite the difficulties in our life, despite the adversity, there's a better day coming for those who are believers. For those who confess Jesus Christ, it's not the end. I want to look briefly at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It's Paul's version of the resurrection, if you will. This is what he speaks about when it comes to the resurrection chapter. That's what it's called. He talks about the resurrection of Christ in the body and life. Chapter 15, verses 1 through 10. You'll look in your Bibles if you want to. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you when you received, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time. I want you to see the numbers in this, because a lot of times when they use, just like when he fed the 5,000, a lot of times when there's numbers used, it's not counting women and children. And so the number of people who witnessed, eyewitnesses, if you look around the room and you see how many people are here right now, and there's quite a few people, it's pretty intimidating. But imagine that now times it by 2 or 3 or 4, and that's how many people experienced, were witnesses to, the resurrected, risen Lord Jesus Christ. Saw it with their own eyes, experienced it, and were never the same after that. I want you to recognize that. It's not just a story of a couple of dudes who, you know, maybe had too many. It's a story of a lot of people, a lot of people. And, of course, it's a fulfillment of hundreds of scriptures, too, hundreds of prophecies. But that's another thing. But so he appeared to these guys, and then he appeared to James, and I'm skipping down here to verse 7. Then he appeared to James and to all the apostles. And last of all, he appeared to me also as to one abnormally born. That's a weird way of saying things, but we'll talk about Paul or Saul in just a minute. He says, "For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God." And he finishes it out here. You click for me. That's a good job. You're good. He finishes it out here, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace was not without effect." That's what caught me in this passage as he relives the resurrection and what it means and what the true gospel is. And I hope you understand what the gospel is. And if you don't, I hope you saw it there. A living Lord who died for us, who rose again to have forgiveness of sins and eternal life. But look at that last verse right there. It says, "And his grace to me was not without effect." How many have experienced the grace of God? How many have had grace and mercy and hope and comfort and guidance and direction and all these things in their lives because of God. That's what Paul's speaking about. You see, Paul experiences, and Paul of all people knew, and he says this, and his grace to me was not without effect. The difference with Paul is that you could see it in his completely turned around, changed, altered, transformed life. How about with you and I? Is there a transformation of our lives as we experience the risen Lord, as we experience he who lived and died and rose again for us? Because that's a story with Paul. That's a story with a lot of these guys that we're going to look at in just a second. Briefly, I want to look at some things that changed because of the resurrection at the resurrection time as we look at it. First thing that changed or was transformed is the cross and the tomb. You and I have this vision of the cross in a different way than those people did back then, and we need to understand that. You and I look at the cross as a thing of beauty. We look at the cross as a replica of something that's good, and we see hope and love in that. But the only reason is because of the beginning of the cross, which wasn't that. It was an old, rugged piece of wood, blood-stained, used for terrible purposes. The Roman Empire didn't even allow their citizens to be crucified. It was such a horrific way of dying. It was saved for the worst of enemies or the worst of slaves to be killed this way. This is the way our Jesus was killed. And then he comes along and he gets on that cross and he changes the world's vision of the cross for forever. Now we see it as a thing of hope. Now we see it as a thing of beauty. Now we wear it around our neck. We have it out on the front of our building. And what's interesting is people will stop and they'll be in our parking lot and they'll be looking at the cross and they'll pray out there because they see the cross and they remember that there's hope in the cross. There's a promise in the cross. Just like there was in the rainbow back in Noah's day in the flood and God gave him a rainbow to promise him, to show him that, you know, I got this. I'm still with you. I love you. That's what the cross says to you and I. It's no longer this thing of torture, this thing of horribleness, this thing of disgrace, this thing for the worst of the worst. Now it's a thing that our Savior went and died on for you and for me. And so it transforms, it changes our view of the cross, as well as with the tomb. The tomb was looked at in that day as the final step. That was it. There was nothing beyond that. You know, they didn't have what we have now, which is the rest of the story, right, about, you know, the risen Lord. The tomb, when he went into the tomb, that was it. When you died back then, you got buried, and that was it. There was no hope of an eternity or eternal life. All this sort of, it didn't happen. So the finality with that, and yet you and I are able to look at that tomb, that gravestone, that death of a loved one or whatever it is, and recognize that if they're a believer in Christ, that's all changed now. That death is the beginning of life. And not only is it the beginning of life, it's a life never ending. You need to understand that it changes your perspective on the cross. It changes your perspective on the tomb if you recognize what Jesus did to transform these things. The next thing that he transformed was time. Time is a challenging thing because we'd like to put it in our pocket and save it and hold on to it and use it when we want it, right? It's one of those things that we want to get as much of it as we can, and this seems to tick past. The Bible tells us that we're a vapor in the wind, we're a mist, we're a twinkling of an eye, we're just an instant. We're all these sorts of titles that the scriptures use to describe you and I. And yet Jesus comes and all of time is transformed. What used to be just the years we might have had on earth, and then that's it, now becomes not just the years we have on earth, but an eternity with our Savior, an eternity with those we love who are believers in Christ, an eternity with our family who has gone on before us. I know time is a challenging thing. Sometimes when I get up in the morning, I look in the mirror and I say, what in the world? You know, do you do that too? Do you look at yourself and just say, what happened? You know? What went wrong? You know, I remember 18 and 21 and 26 and, you know, now it's like 47 and something. It's just all not right, you know? We'd like to bottle up that time and go back and stay in that perfect spot we were in, but that's not how it works. And we like to do that with our parents too and stuff, right? We'd like to have our parents stick around another year, another day, another week, but we can't do that. We'd like our children sometimes to stay at that age that they're, you know, that they're really good at, you know, like that they're really, they're not a pain in the butt when they get older, you know. So maybe stay at 2 or 3. Maybe you said that. Gosh, I wish my kid would just stay at this age. I don't think I said that about any of my kids. I want them to grow up and get out. But perhaps you've caught yourself saying that. You know, I just like to keep my kid at this age, 6 months, a year, whatever, so I can just cuddle him and hold him. And we have that feeling about time. It's a very precious thing. And we don't know the number of that we have on this earth. And some of the people in our midst have experienced that this week. You know, Pam Lake lost her sister this week. You know, Pastor Roger lost his sister-in-law this week. These are people that matter to us. These are people that we care about. Wayne and Janice Dingman lost their 7-year-old great-granddaughter. Life is precious. Time is precious. The beauty of it, though, with all three of those people that I'm speaking of, all three of them knew Jesus Christ, and all three of them, for them, life didn't end. It just began. And not only did it just begin, it's never going to end. That's a beautiful thing. You have to understand Jesus transforming our concept of time. We have a limited idea of that. And back then, they really had a limited idea. They thought that was just the time on earth. Then you hit the tomb and the ground, and that was all she wrote. But that's not the case. We know that now because we know the rest of the story. Jesus transformed life. We look around us, and life could be challenging, right? I mean, I don't know what world you live in, but, there's all this craziness going on with terrorism and, you know, ISIS and this and that and the other thing, and wars here and wars there, and kids dying and kids being abused and people living in the street and just all kinds of issues out there. And if this world is what you and I look to find our hope, if that's the only place, the only thing that you and I get our hope from, we're not going to have any hope, because this world isn't a place where we can glean that. This world is a place of despair and difficulty. We have men and women all over the world serving to protect our country, to protect other people, and we need to pray for those people who do that. But our hope needs to be in something bigger. It needs to be in something greater. You know, Dale Evans once said, you know, I chased down everything in the world thinking that at the end of the rainbow would be my pot of gold or whatever. And then he realized and he said, I figured out at the end of the day that my pot of gold, my reward was at the foot of the cross. And I hope that you will see that too. We chase after a lot of things in this life that we think might get it done for us. It might fulfill us. It might, you know, make us okay or, you know, complete us, right? And it just doesn't work, and perhaps you're in that boat. You've chased after the bottle, you've chased after the pills, you've chased after, you know, women, you've chased after whatever that is, and you have those stories and you have those experiences, and Jesus says, I've transformed that. I've changed that. You don't have to do that anymore. There's a new life for you because he is risen. That's the hope that he gives us. And Jesus transforms death as well. We no longer have to fear death. It says in that 1 Corinthians 15, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O, you know, I can't remember it exactly, but what's it say, Ryan? You read it to us. Yeah, the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God, he gives us a victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? We don't have to worry about that anymore. That was post Jesus' resurrection. That was Paul writing in 1 Corinthians. You have to understand that. But they didn't get that. So there was a lot transformed. There was more transformed than this. Actually, I think I might have put it up here. Yeah, for your viewing pleasure. But there was a lot more transformed than that. Think about the temple. You remember when Jesus hung on the cross and there was this, as he breathed his last, you remember there was this great thunder and noise and sounds, and then it says that the curtain or the veil, depending on which version of scripture you're reading, was torn. Understand that it was torn from top to bottom. It was torn by the Lord. And why was it torn? Because you and I, back then, wouldn't have been able to enter into the Holy of Holies, the most intimate place to talk to God, to be with God, to see God. You'd have to come and you'd have to talk to somebody else. And you'd have to bring a couple doves, a couple pigeons, a couple goats, a couple kids, whatever it is you wanted to trade, you know, to be able to get in that spot, to be able, and you still couldn't get in that spot. That was just to get that guy to go in that spot so that you could relay something to God. And then Jesus comes and that curtain is torn and that veil is removed. That curtain is no longer there. And now you and me and everybody else that comes along and confesses Jesus Christ gets to enter into the Holy of Holies. Gets to go into that most intimate place because we're clothed in the righteousness and the acceptance of the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what the Father sees now when we come to that point. He doesn't see us, not if we're believers. He sees his Son. And so the temple was changed, how we approach the temple, where we can go in the temple, how we can speak to God. We no longer have to have somebody to do it for us. We can go straight to God. The only mediator in Scripture, you guys need to understand this if you're not deep in your Christian faith, whatever, you're just trying to figure this thing out, kicking tires. The only mediator between you and our Father in heaven is Jesus Christ himself. You don't have to come to me. Is it good to confess to people and have accountability partners? Absolutely. You know, that's good. That's good for encouragement. It's good to keep you on track. But the only mediator, the only person that can save you, the only person that could die for your sins, the only person that can do anything about your train wreck of a life, which mine was big time, is Jesus Christ. That's it. That's what it changed. That's what the resurrection changed. We no longer have to jump through a whole bunch of hoops. We have to confess Jesus Christ as our Lord and believe it in our heart. That's the story of Easter. It changed. It transformed. You think of other, now we talked about some things, but let's look at some people that changed. Think about the disciples on that night. They were devastated, and we talked about this to start with. They were destroyed. They were hopeless. They were down. They were discouraged. They were frustrated. It actually says that they were locked in a room, door locked. They were scared to death of the Jews coming to get them. These are guys that walked and talked and prayed and laughed and learned and all this with Jesus Christ himself, and they still were terrified. And I want you to hear that, because it's okay if you're in a spot where you're frustrated, stressed, scared, whatever that is, it's okay. You got to hear the rest of the story. When the resurrected Lord appeared to those guys in that room, because he didn't care about it being locked, it changed them. 12 disciples that were petrified, that didn't know what to do, became this great army of soldiers for Christ. Peter, who denied even knowing Christ, remember, 3 times before Christ died, Peter preached the first sermon in Acts, and it says that thousands were added to the number of believers that day. Peter went from a guy who doubted to a guy who had incredible faith. You think about James, the brother of Jesus. James didn't even believe. He struggled with it. He's a brother of Jesus. He struggled with it. After the resurrection, when he appeared to James, and James saw the resurrected Lord and got it, James became an incredible apostle for the Lord. It says all the things that he did. You read the book of James. He's just incredibly powerful witness for him. You look at the apostle Paul, and before that he was, you know, Saul, the Pharisee. And I love the story of him, and I shared him a couple weeks ago. But I want to come back to him again, because you see in Acts chapter 9, on that road to Damascus, as Saul's going out to destroy and persecute and make fun of and ridicule and more Christians, because that's what he did for a living. And this is a good story, because it's the truth, and it might be the story of your life, that you had a pretty shabby life, pretty rough past. You didn't have a rough past as bad as Saul. This guy stood by while Christians were murdered. He went and murdered himself, Christians. He persecuted them everywhere. He was a horrible guy. He was terrible for the gospel. He was against Jesus. And it says in Acts chapter 9 that he had this encounter, that Jesus revealed himself to him, and Saul went to his knees. And the Lord blinded him for 3 days, and he spoke to Saul, and he said, "Why are you persecuting me?" You know, and Saul talked about, he called him Lord, and then Jesus responding, "It's Jesus you are persecuting." And all of a sudden, Saul gets it. It went from this knowledge of this Jesus guy to this transformation of life. And Paul went from persecuting believers to making believers by preaching everywhere he went. You see, there's change and transformation and different direction when we come to know Jesus, when we truly turn our lives over to him. It makes things, it's not the same. And so I ask you, just like those words in 1 Corinthians 15 that Paul echoed in chapter 10, his grace was not without effect on me. What Paul was saying is, it changed me completely. I went from a horrible dude to planning churches and leading all kinds of people to Christ. I was nothing like I used to be. nor were the disciples in the upper room locked in there scared to death. And I ask you today, has his grace to you, for you, been with effect or without effect? Because for Easter to be Easter, we're supposed to recognize that it doesn't have to be status quo, whether it be the cross, whether it be the tomb, whether it be life, whether it be death. Things changed because of Easter. Things were transformed. And that can happen to you today too. You don't have to be the old you. You can confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, Jesus Christ is your Lord. And perhaps you've done that and you've just been AWOL. Then come back to that. Come back to that. Allow him to do a work in you. That's what he allowed. That's what he allowed Saul on the road to Damascus, who turned into Paul the Apostle. 3 days he blinded him, so 3 days he could get his attention and speak to him before he sent him out, and Paul made a difference. Perhaps he's been working on you for years and your life's been miserable. Well, understand that the Lord's trying to get your attention. Quit doing it on your own. It was never meant to be that way. Confess your need for him. Be transformed. Be made completely different. Whether it's at the altar praying with the pastor, whether it's where you're sitting, I hope that that's what you would do today, that you would make Easter really Easter in here for you. Because that's why Jesus did what he did for us up there. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you sent your son to live a perfect life, Lord, because we couldn't. So he did it for us. He sacrificially lived, didn't sin, because we needed him to live like that. He died an undeserved death on a cross that nobody deserved, but certainly not him who was without sin. And he did that for us. And then he rose again. Father, through your son, Jesus Christ, we have life. We don't have to fear death. And we have an eternal life with you, promised in your word that where you go to prepare a place for us, we will go and be with you one day. Father, thank you for that. Father, work in each one of us, wherever we might find ourselves this morning, whether it's to just confess for the first time our belief in you, whether it's to get right with you and allow you to transform and do an amazing thing in our life, whatever it is, God, may we be humble, may we be willing, may we be submissive, Lord, to what that might be, so that this Easter will truly be a resurrection of our heart, a transformation of our life. We love you, and we thank you, Lord, that you made everything different because you gave us Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray.